For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We know that the Lord himself will add his blessing onto the reading of his word. We'll bow briefly in a further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this time of year when again we can focus our attention upon the birth of the Lord Jesus and again be lost in wonder, in love and praise, that he took not on him the nature of angels, but he did take on him the seed of Abraham, and that it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. There never was a birth like this. There never shall be again. There never was a life like his. There never shall be again. There never was a death like his. There never shall be again. Nor was there a raising from the tomb like his, or an ascending into glory, or a coming back again like his. Lord, we thank thee for the uniqueness, the exclusiveness of God our Redeemer. And while the enemy might come in from the outside and say, oh, you've got this exclusive religion. Yes, we do. Because that's what the Word of God teaches. And it doesn't own any other. Thou said again and again in Isaiah, I am the Lord. And there is none else. Lord, we view that as being exclusive. We know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, and that is exclusive. And so we thank thee for the narrow way that leads to life. And we can plot the track in thy life and thy ministry itself, from the cradle through to the cross. Come, Lord, we pray, touch our hearts tonight, and even as thou dost right now sit on thy heavenly throne, pleading for us, may we feel the benefit of that blessed intercession. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was a child, my mother and father sang a little line. Could be at any time of year, but it was mentioned the season of year to which we have come. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Now, that would have been very appropriate whenever there was a child about and they had reached the stage whereby the baby teeth had maybe both come out on the front, and there was this yawning chasm and gap as they looked at toothy or toothless smile. Now, this over here, as we go about and arrive at Christmas shopping, and I would imagine some of you, if not most of you, go along that already. We'll get the sort of the more cuddly and the sentimental and the downright soppy. All I want for Christmas is you. And we'll hear it booming out all the street corners. I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. We are taking a quantum leap away from that Mariah Carey's Christmas song to the more rustic, but definite, the most brilliant and blessed lines that we have from the evangelical prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, where he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And not at all in a softly sentimental kind of way, but in a real and a brilliant and a thrilling way, the Lord Jesus Christ is all of this to us. Notice how it says in Isaiah 9 and 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And here is a gift that is coming phenomenal in its nature, majestic and mighty in all of its aspect, but it's coming down a very narrow channel, and it's coming unto God's own people. Now there's a mirror image of that over in Luke in chapter 2. And the angel, for example, in verse 10 says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord," and goes on to say, "and this shall be a sign unto you." The same terms in the New Testament as in the Old, "but unto us, unto you, these things are given." Now, if we can make this all so very personal in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, and say that at this Christmas time, as indeed at every time of the year, our Lord Jesus Christ is to be to us the one who is called Wonderful. In fact, let's talk about this season, the wonder of Christmas. He is to be our joy. It's a fact. It doesn't really matter how many people try to dress this up or disguise it or even dismiss it out of hand. Many people do not, in fact, enjoy Christmas. For them, there will be few, if any, gifts. There will be no shortage of family trouble and turmoil. There will be all kinds of fears and anxieties and dreads and even terrors, and they seem to shoot in from all sorts of angles. We don't waste our time looking for the wonder of Christmas in a shopping centre, because the true wonder of Christmas can only be found in a person, the eternal Son of God and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that he should step down out of heaven and become like me, then die for me and now live in me, that is a wonder that our minds just cannot possibly calibrate or stretch themselves around. He is wonderful. He's called Counselor. And in the term Counselor, as in all of the terms, there are many, many suggestive thoughts, but we'll confine ourselves to one, our best friend. The one that we trust most, and on whom we lean the hardest. The Counselor. Psalm 73 and verse 24, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." And so if we're looking for wisdom, if I need guidance in life, if I am looking direction, and so many stages in life are pockmarked by those needs, I need wisdom, I need counsel, I need guidance, I need direction, where will I go? My own sat-nav will let me down. My neighbour's sat-nav will let me down. In the journey of life, I need to go to the one who is the counsellor. Christmas, we know, can be sad but not shared with anyone. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to be that one with whom we share the joys of this season, on whom we lean through every trial and anxiety of the time, to be our best friend. We sign tonight, Jesus, thy joy of loving hearts, thy fount of life, thy light of men. From the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn on filled to thee again. O Jesus, ever with us staying, make all our moments calm and bright, chase the dark night of sin away, shed o'er the world thy holy light. And the scripture tells us, in thy light shall we see light, for he alone is the light of the world. He is the wonderful, he is the counselor, and he is also called here our mighty God, and something else we can make personal. Unto us he is wonderful. Unto us he comes as our counselor. Unto us he is the mighty God, our strength, our refuge. I would imagine if we did a survey of the Christmas cards that we have received, or the depictions of Jesus that we have seen around this time of year, all that's so common will represent him as little more than a sweet little baby in a very confined manger, or nestled in the arms of his earthly mother. But Isaiah spreads the picture so dramatically here to view him as nothing less than the mighty God of our life. The one who fights our battles. The one who always gives strong refuge in the hours of trouble. Our mighty God. Unto us he is wonderful. Unto us he is the counselor. Unto us he is the mighty God. And also the Everlasting Father. Very intriguing title for God the Son, to be termed the Everlasting Father. The one that will never let you down. Who will be what no earthly father ever can be, no matter how much that earthly father wants to be. That person. I don't know how it is in your house, but I think, from my experience, it's often the case that where Christmas gifts are concerned, maybe Father is the less calculated, the more open-handed, happy to stretch beyond the limits to purchase gifts that he cannot easily afford, and Mother tends to be, despite her tenderness, more in touch with reality, and more where the rubber hits the road, and more practical. And succeeds in pulling on the handbrake when that handbrake needs to be pulled on. The fatherly aspect of Jesus means he will always be there for us. Always be working out things to our best advantage. Not just working speedily for our convenience, but working on the long-term plan that will carry us through to that eventual and blessed end. And he's always giving his best for us. To us he is the Everlasting Father. And then he is our Prince of Peace, our Savior, Deliverer, our Reconciler. Notice again, he was born unto us. In other words, we needed him. Without him, where would we be? Well, the hymn writer said, without him, I would be nothing. Without him, I'd surely feel. Not only that, without him, we would be in hell. Without him, we would be doomed. Without him,
under condemnation the way we were. But he was born unto us to reconcile God and we the sinner together and to bring real peace. Those soldiers down in the trench at the Western Front of World War I just over 100 years ago, December of 1914 to be specific, they longed for peace to break out and to be established. 5 months down the line in this war, as they were already by this stage, with 1 million of their comrades already dead and buried in the battlefields, on those killing fields of Europe, but another 18 million men and women would yet be lost. Before Matthias Erzberger would be sent post haste from Germany to meet Marshal Foch in the forest in France and sign off on the terms of the armistice settlement, Erzberger is told as he makes the journey, make peace. On all accounts, make peace. Don't return without it. Foch, though he signed the armistice document, felt in his bones, this peace isn't genuine. This is just a kicking of the can off the road a little bit. And he actually said, this is not peace. This is an armistice for 20 years. And he was so right. Christ, the Lamb of God, came to settle not a temporary peace, not to negotiate a truce, not to navigate his way through a ceasefire, not to end one war only to allow another one to break out a short distance down the line, but he came to booming pen, the dead of sin. And in that very dangerous period, there he is wrapped in the death shroud. I will finish the work that he has given me to do. And on that cruel cross, he dies that death at the hands of wicked men. But Colossians 1 and 20 assures us the plan, the purpose of God was never derailed, not even dented, because he made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And it was his work, couldn't be ours, because it was way beyond the boundaries of our abilities. He did it. Start to finish. And as he came as a being unto us, so by his Spirit, he brings all the benefit of his finished work unto us. What greater gifts can we unwrap? What greater, most precious treasures can we delve into and further examine? Some of which we have right on the surface. And that's where we've been tonight in Isaiah 9 and 6, on the surface. To me he is wonderful. To me he is my counselor. To me he is my mighty God. To me he is also my everlasting Father. And to me the Prince of Peace as well. What a wonderful Jesus.